What's good? I am back, yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. The Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. We got a special guest coming on here soon. We're going to give him a little bit of time to come on and whatnot. I hope y'all enjoyed the fight last Saturday. Of course, Redneck Madel came out victorious. So, and still middleweight champion of BKFC. You got BKFC Fight Night, Mohegan Sun, Porter versus Kleckler coming up June 14th. Couple people on that card that I'm pretty much familiar with. All right, so here goes our guest. He just popped up on the screen. And I'm no expert of the BKFC, but I know enough to know that this guy is one of the most skilled and most disciplined fighters in the BKFC. He's a former interim middleweight champion, 8 fights under his belt, 6-2 record. We'll be fighting at BKFC 78 Hollywood, Florida. And the main card for that is Perdomo versus Adams. That's July 12th. 2025. Let's bring on the one and only Francesco Ricci. Francesco, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
I can't complain, man. Can't complain. Hey, you got to turn it again. You sideways right now.
Better?
Yeah, yeah. Are you able to turn it the long way? It's better for our clips.
Am I able to what? Sorry?
To turn it the long way where these little black bars don't show up.
Hold on. Let me see. I think I have the. Let me see if I can enter the studio from my iPad instead. I think it might make it
okay.
Better.
Okay.
All right. Give me 1 second. I'm going to exit here and I'll get back on my iPad. Give me like 1 minute.
All right. So we're going to give them a minute. We just like to have the widescreen. It's better for the clips and whatnot. So while we're doing that, let's go over the fight card that just happened. Of course, the first fight was really awkward. You had Bobby Henry, which was Bryce Henry's little brother, fought Casey Yates, and most of the fight he was getting beat. He was falling down a lot, slipping. It was kind of weird because the ref had to go and tell Casey Yates, hey, don't push him down to the mat, and they had to go tell Bobby Henry, hey, don't push yourself down to the mat. But he ended up winning with an uppercut, which I thought was shocking. Definitely changed the whole trajectory of that match, and like I said, it was awkward at first. Yeah, Skyler Mahler, he won pretty easily. Wild Bill William Albrecht won. Go check out an interview I did with him. Felipe Chavez won. Derek Perez won. Murat Kilimatov won. And of course, Dave Mandel, the redneck, won a unanimous decision versus Donald Sanchez. So, yeah, I thought the fight card wasn't that bad. I thought it was going to start out bad at first because the first fight was kind of awkward. But Bryce Henry's little brother pretty much redeemed himself. I mean, he's 1-0 right now with a KO. And when you watch the uppercut in slow motion, I mean, it's crazy. All right, let's bring back on. There you go. That's perfect.
Sorry about that. My iPad was giving me issues, so I jumped on my phone just to try to make the appointment. But ended up being late anyways.
So. It's all good. It's all good. So how you doing today, man?
Can't complain, bro. Just it's hot here in Florida, bro.
Oh man, I can only imagine.
It's touching the hundreds. I mean, when you're in traffic and you got all the heat and all the exhaust from cars, it gets to the hundreds for sure.
So first interview, I like to just kind of get to know the fighter and whatnot. So I want to start here. So you got started in MMA. But then you decide to move into bare knuckle. Why'd you decide to make that move?
My first MMA fight was right before COVID. And then they reached out to me. Bare knuckle was kind of new at the time. And I had a training partner slash friend of mine that fought bare knuckle, Gustavo, the Cuban assassin. And since he did it, I asked him, I was just kind of like, hey, what do you think? And he was just like, bro, it's fun. You should try it. So I tried it. And, then we just kind of rode with it for the next 5 years after that. And it was always kind of BK didn't want me fighting in MMA. They were kind of like against you fighting in different promotions, which is kind of funny because a bunch of different fighters did, including fighters that fought before. But I was just kind of trying to be loyal to them. But then it seems like when you stay with them, they kind of shelf you anyway. So I'm kind of wishing that I did go back to MMA a little while ago. But who knows? I might cross that bridge again. We'll see if they keep me active enough in BK.
And that's the thing. If they're going to expect you to fight in just one organization, they should keep you active. Because, I mean, a lot of fighters have a trouble making a living. It's not that easy, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's thankfully I don't fight. Like, fighting isn't my main source of income, thankfully.
That's good.
Obviously, a lot of fighters don't have that luck.
Yeah.
But I still don't want to be shelved. I mean, shit, I'm 31. Yeah. Sorry, by the way. I don't know if I'm cursed or not.
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead.
I'm 31 now. And my first bare knuckle fight, I was 25 or 26. So 25, actually. It was right before my 26th birthday. So I kind of wish that I had fought both just to be more active. Because, I mean, I have 8 fights in the last 5 years. That's not much, man. That's like barely a fight and a half a year. I'd like to be a lot more active than that if I can. It's just been difficult. You know, the last 2 years, I have 1 fight. I don't want to be that inactive. If it was up to me, I'd fight every other month. It's just, it seems like it's like pushing rope, getting a fight with these guys. They keep signing more people. The roster keeps getting bigger. And
yeah,
it's like, you know, I also don't want to beg to fight. You know, there's other promotions that I could fight at pretty easily. So I don't know what it is, but I'm very competitive. So the fact that I lost the belt in BK, that's the kind of the reason why I don't want to leave. I want to work my way back up to a title fight. So that's more or less the reason why I'm still in this circuit now. I feel like if I jump ship and I go fight in MMA and take a couple fights in MMA, I feel like it's going to be that much more difficult to get a fight with them in the future. But I might not be, I might not have a choice soon enough. I mean, if they don't have me fight often, I don't want to end up being 38 years old, you know, and only having another couple fights. That's bullshit.
And I'm pretty sure you were trying to get on the Italy card, right?
So after I won my last fight, I jumped the ring and I was speaking to Feldman ringside because there was a whole bunch of last minute bullshit that happened in that fight too, which shouldn't have happened. They put me on the prelims last minute. They lost a stack of tickets that I had for Will Call. So a lot of my friends and family couldn't get in.
Damn. And
they were kind of rushing me out. So I lost my shit in the back room and I jumped in the ring to talk to Feldman. I'm like, dude, I almost died for you guys once. You know, I ended up in a coma. I've always fought my ass off. I fought a month and a half after ACL surgery with you guys too, just because you guys needed a ticket seller for that card. Obviously, it didn't even go my way. I lost that fight, but I never complained. And then you guys, as soon as the shoe's on the other foot, you guys slash my pay, you know, keep me on the shelf. I'm like, dude, this kind of shit can't go on, man. I've been more than a loyal company, man. And his words that night were Italy in April. So I was pretty happy. That's always been my dream to fight in my home country.
Yeah.
Florence is pretty close to where I grew up. Florence is like not even 2 hours away from Rome. So there's a lot of people that could make that drive. That's like going to the beach from Miami. You know, there's a lot of people that could make that drive. And then we were speaking back and forth. I spoke to Gabriel, which is the guy that's got the exclusive there he's the one that's got the exclusive rights for BKFC Italy. We spoke back and forth. Everything seemed like we were on board. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 months of no contact, and I reached out to them. I was like, hey, man, am I fighting in Italy? What's going on? And just I found out that I was pretty much booted from the card because from telling me you're fighting in Italy and then all of a sudden now it's a finger blame game. You know, one person is blaming the other person, is blaming the other person. Nobody's picking up the phone. And it's just, I don't know. I don't do that kind of shit with people that I do business with. But then again, you know.
And that's the problem with the fight game. There's always politics, right?
Yeah. You also kind of got to tread carefully. You know, I mean, I'm speaking to you about it. I'm being relatively open, but I also can't reveal too much because I don't want these fuckers to all of a sudden have a sour taste in their mouth. And you know, by fuckers, I'm not talking about everybody in BK. There's people that like from that promotion, but there are some people that do make my life hell. But I'm saying I don't want to shit where I eat either. You know, I don't want to.
No, I get that.
Much, and you know, now all of a sudden it's like, you know, when you did this. And,
you know. Yeah, it's probably best you let me be critical about BKFC because I could be critical about BKFC here and there. There's definitely some moves I've seen them make that is a head scratcher, and I definitely didn't agree with. So let's get to this one. Your first three fights were TKOs, and then you go five rounds with Boswick. You feel like that was your first big test in the BKFC?
Yeah, he was a huge step up in competition. I remember my team was actually pretty scared of Jake because he had, you know, 40 professional fights and also took promotions. And I went from fighting somebody in Brian Maxwell, which he's got a losing record in bare knuckle. You know, I don't mean to throw dirt on his name because I like him. But, you know, going from somebody that at the time when I fought him, he was 0-3.
Yeah.
Jake, who's 28-10 in Cage Warriors, you know, is a completely different step up. And obviously it showed because he's I still think to this day he's the toughest guy that I fought. He's just durable, man. Just very, very durable. He's a really tough guy to get out of there. And he's also fast. Like the thing with Jake, when I fought him, he was fast. He's fighting right now. Me and Jake are close. He's actually fighting a good friend of mine. And I'm staying politically the fuck out of that matchup. I don't want to be first to win. I wouldn't mind if it's a really, really boring fight and they don't hit each other a lot because I love both guys. I want Leo to win. I want Jake to win.
That's hilarious.
And I told Leo, just like I told Jake, I was like, yo, Leo hits hard. And I told Leo, like, Jake is fast, you know. So he was fast. Like, when I fought him, it was you didn't see the shot that dropped you. Like, I didn't see it at all. Like, the shot that I got clipped with, I was like, damn. It came out of nowhere. So he was definitely a huge step up in competition and just season. You know, I mean, he's a veteran. He knew when to rest. He knew when not to. His composure was there. He didn't panic. I feel like a lot of the people that I fought before him had those, like, pre-fight nerves, you know, and they kind of, like, gassed out early where Jake didn't have that. He was definitely a big step up in competition for sure.
So you got him as being a tougher than Redneck?
No. The thing is this. With Jake, I had the upper hand against Jake by the second round. I never had the upper hand against Mundell. I didn't win a second round against Jake. Or I don't know if I won one round, but I know for a fact there was never a momentum shift in the fight with me and Dave.
Yeah.
And Dave's obviously tough as shit. I mean, he's taking punches from some of the bigger punchers in the sport. But I'm just saying of people that I've actually spent quite some time with in the ring, which Jake would probably be one of them, he's the toughest guy that I beat for sure. Because it was just – there were times where I thought I really had him out of there. And he quit, where I've never gotten – Mundell to that point. Mundell was pretty much in control of our fight from opening bell, you know.
And I was watching the Maxwell highlights earlier, and I saw you do something I don't think I've seen in BKFC before, but you had him in the clinch, and I guess he kind of, like, you know, laid off for a second, and you just clocked him and knocked him down. I was like, damn, I ain't seen nobody do that, man. And it was so quick, and you could hear it. You could just literally hear it.
Dirty boxing. I'll tell you a funny thing about that fight. If you look at that fight again, the very first shot that I threw, I clipped his forehead with my second metacarpal, and it broke that hand. And that's like this scar that I have here on my hand. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
I've got a titanium implant there now because I broke my hand. Like, I mean, it was displaced like this when I fought Brian. And thankfully, there was so much repetition and training that it was just instinct for me to throw my right hand. And even broken and displaced and as messed up as it was, I actually got a picture of it here. I just kept throwing it. And the shots that I dropped Brian or Maxwell with, all three of them, my hand was broken during those shots, you know? So to me, that was even more impressive. That I was able to drop him with my hand displaced the way that it was. But hold on, here it is. I got this in my favorites album. Here. So this was my hand. This was the x-ray. Where the hell is the damn camera on this thing? Here we go.
Okay.
X-ray.
Oh, shit. Yeah, damn.
Broken. But, in the clinch, I could feel him kind of like let go.
And I'm
like, referee didn't say break.
No.
I caught him. I actually thought that shot was going to get him like out of there because I felt that it landed flush on his chin, but props to him. He got back up.
Yeah, that was crazy. It almost felt like lights out, light on, and was almost good to think like that was, you know, like the ref was going to go the other way with it. But he's like, that's a knockdown. I was like, yeah. That shit was so quick, too, and you could just literally hear it back on the highlights, man. I was like, yeah, he didn't see that one coming.
Some of the things in BK, like some of the shots that land, they happen so fast. Also, because we're not, wearing gloves, so the shots do land a little bit quicker. Some of them land so damn fast that you didn't see what happened. So sometimes you think it's a slip, you know, maybe just because of the way that the fighter falls, you know, you think
they're
bounce. And I feel like then you watch the replay and you're like, oh shit, he got clipped.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those actually recently where it looked like a slip, then you go back. I think Kai Stewart actually did one like that too, where they caught it a slip, and you go back and see he actually punched the dude and whatnot. So you fought Diaz for the interim fight. Were you surprised that fight ended that quick?
A little bit. I mean, I thought it was going to end quick because I knew that Yuli was coming out balls to the wall like he normally does.
Uh-huh.
I figured like that normally plays into my strength, but it was just going to be a matter of who connected with the right punch first, you know? So yes and no. Like I was surprised in a sense that I thought that it was going to be more of a war, but at the same time, it was just, bro, bare knuckles got such a small margin for error. I just feel like I was able to land a more effective punch first, you know?
Yeah.
That's really all it was. And I also, where that cut was right in his freaking eye. So there wasn't really, I mean, I'm pretty sure that even if he would have made it to the corner, they would have probably called it off because there was a cut like right under his eyebrow, and then there was a massive gash over his eyebrow. So they would have more than likely called it off anyways.
So there's this one fight that I feel like you probably definitely should have won. The Eric Lozano fight, man. Yeah. You were heavily favored in that fight, right?
Yep. I think I was like 8-1 or 9-1.
I mean, that's one that you probably want to get back, right? To try to...
Not really. I mean, listen, I'd like to get back both of the fights that I lost.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I mean, the fights went the way that they did. Obviously, Lozano hits hard. I just think that fight was necessary in my career. I know it sucks to lose, always does, but I would not have made the steps that I made in my training camp if I didn't lose to Eric. I should have listened to my corner. My head coach, Manolo Lopez, he's been with me for 10 years. He told me not to fight. He told me to take off 5-6 months. You know, first time being brutally knocked out the way I did for Mundell. I didn't listen to him, so I went and fought Eric and jumped right back into training camp, sparring, taking subconcussive blows day in and day out, you know, way too soon after getting knocked out.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mundell fight, there was so many things that happened in that fight. And day-to-day, I don't think they necessarily altered the course of the fight because bro, if you train hard enough, every fighter goes in there with some kind of fucking injury. So it's not like, oh, you know, I'm still injured. You know, that's why Dave beat me. Fuck no, Dave's just good. He's really good. He showed this last weekend how good he is. But
yeah,
I just, there's a lot of things that contributed to me being knocked out the way that I did, like a really bad weight cut, a whole bunch of different things, which I'm not saying it wouldn't happen. It might have even happened quicker because I might have been more aggressive if I felt the way that I should have. But having been KO'd the way that I was after the Mundell fight, I should have just taken time off. But inside, I'm like, I'm so fucking competitive. I was like, no, I need to get that one back. I need to wash the sour taste out of my mouth from being knocked out. So I tried to jump right back in there. The guy that I had at the time as a manager, he fished Lozano out of some fucking pond from who knows where. Lozano wasn't even in the rankings. He wasn't even fighting anymore. He's the one that came up with the name Lozano, which, by the way, was also a weight class up, which I don't mind fighting at 85, I guess. I mean, I'm not the smallest 85er, and I'm definitely not a small 75er either, but there was no need to fight that fight, and there was just no need for me to be fighting at that time, period. Now, it's not to say that Lozano, who knows, man, maybe Lozano has my number, but I'm not chasing that one back, because I'm also not a sore loser, bro. Shit is what it is. You're always judged based off your last fight, so I feel like if I just go out there and keep winning, eventually people, if they want to see that fight ran back, I would love to fight him again. I mean, I'd love to fight anybody that beat me, but I'm not chasing after it either. I just shouldn't have fought at that time, period. I feel like I would have lost a Jake. If I would have fought Jake,
he
would have beat my ass that fight. I guarantee you I would have lost to Jake. Matter of fact, they fought after, and you saw the result in that fight.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have been fighting that soon after being knocked out. Another one that did the same shit that I did is Richmond. I mean, Richmond got knocked out cold from Lorenzo.
Oh, yeah.
Should have fought as soon as he did after losing to Lorenzo. And I'm not saying that he would have beat Mundell. Again, that's not where I'm getting at. But
yeah,
I hate seeing this. I'll use this example. I love racing, right? I love race cars. There's no point in you seeing a car racing that's got a tired motor, bad compression, sticky rings, a transmission that's not shifting, right? What the fuck's the point? You're not going to see that car 100%. So to race that car up against another car that it should probably be, or maybe it can be. There's no point because you don't get a definitive answer. Who knows? Maybe if your car was at 100%, it might have won that race that it lost, you know? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you go into a fight not being 100%, you win. That happens all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Yuli, I fought with a torn ACL. Mundell, I fought, and I had a bad meniscus, and I had a finger injury. There's a lot of fights that you go in not 100%, but there's just something like that where it's like, hey, bro, the one thing that we always try to avoid in fighting is brain damage, always.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not it's very common amongst fighters, but getting knocked out, you need to take time off. There's a reason why the commission suspends you for a certain amount of time. I think that when the commission suspends you for 90 days, it doesn't mean that you should fight in 90 days. It means that you should wait 90 days before you start training, because people don't get that bare knuckle's not that bad for your brain, I don't think.
That's what the data says, basically.
Yeah. I think sparring with headgear and these massive pillows
is worse. Yeah.
Taking fucking repetitive subconcussive blows day in and day out over, that's so much worse, months on end, instead of the fucking 10 minutes that you're inside of a ring. You know, I think it's way worse than it is you being in bare, because at least you can get cut in bare knuckle and then boom, fight's called off. You know, you can get dropped once or twice and then 10 seconds later, if you don't make it, the referee counts it off. But I think it's really in training that it happens. So if you get knocked out the way that I did, or if you get knocked out, or even get dazed, I mean, sometimes you don't have to get knocked out completely, but then you take all that damage in training after, you're kind of, you know, you're doing more damage to yourself than you should be. You're putting yourself in a position where you're not at 100%. So you're not even representing your team, yourself. You're not representing your friends, your family, the people that pay to come watch you fight. You're not representing them adequately enough because you're not at 100%. There's no point. It's like watching a baseball player that's got a bad arm. You know, it sucks because you're just kind of like, I know this guy can do better.
But isn't that where pride kind of comes in? I know a lot of fighters, they don't want to, even though they got an injury, they don't want to quit. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to not do the fight. They still want to, you know, go through with it. Maybe, you know, fighters can be a little stubborn that way. You know what I'm saying?
Fighters, and I mean, I'm not talking about people who fight. I'm talking about fighters.
Yeah.
100% like that. Fighters will make up any excuse to make. There's difference, bro. There's a fighter that's got a staph infection and he'll pull out. Or there's a fighter that's got a fucking cold or a sore thumb and he'll pull out. Then there's somebody that literally is on crutches and then they will find a way to make it to the fight no matter what. That's a fighter compared. I'll give you an example. And I'm by no way near some of these other crazy motherfuckers, but I tore my ACL June 6th and I fought Yuli June 24th.
Damn.
I took exosomes, I did PRP, I did ice baths every night. I did whatever I could. The first time that I moved without a brace was fight night. But I knew that there was not going to be another chance for me to fight for a belt. I knew if I would have pulled out, they would have never given me a title shot again. So there was no way, shape, or form. And I never pulled out of a fight anyways. Which is also kind of the reason why I fought Mundell when I did, because they announced that fight without even advocating it to me, without even talking to me about it. So I'm like,
damn.
I already know that they're going to say I pulled out of a fight if I don't fight this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're right. You're 100% right. Pride definitely comes in with fighters, actual fighters. I'm not talking about people that fight just to post on social media that they fight. No.
So you about to fight this guy, Dallas Davidson. What do you know about him, man?
I do not know shit about Dallas.
Me neither.
I know they actually asked me to fight him years ago. And it was when I fought Yuli, they were asking me to fight Dallas Davidson for an interim belt. I'm like, the fuck? I was like, this makes any sense. The guy's not even ranked. You know, at the time he was 3-1 or 3-0. Yeah, maybe 3-0. I'm like, dude, I'm like, I'll fight whoever you guys want me to, but I also don't want me to fight for a belt. And people were like, oh, who the fuck is this guy you fought for the belt? You know, Yuli at least was probably the best person for me to fight, him or Richmond, but Yuli was a previous title challenger. So if I went out there and I beat Yuli better than Thiago Alves did, then it would give people space to say, or bragging rights to say, Frank is the true champion, you know, because Thiago struggled with Yuli, Frank beat him a lot better. Or at the very least, they both won. You know, who knows who would win in a fight between the two of them. But if I were to go fight somebody completely different, people would be like, you know, well, that's just a paper belt, which I would understand. I mean, at the end of the day, it's MMA math doesn't always add up, but it still makes sense, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. So what are we expecting with this fight? I mean, you got a height advantage, you got a reach advantage. You looking to exploit that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is gonna be a really aggressive fight. I don't think it's gonna be a lot like me and Blake. I think me and Blake okay. was more like, I think after the second round, Blake was kind of on his bike. Like, he was trying to win. He was never out of that fight, but I don't think that he was trying to engage nearly as much because of after he got cracked. I think this guy more. I think this guy actually all his wins and all his losses have all come by knockout. So I think this is one of those dudes that whether he wins or loses, he's going to come in there and try to win no matter what. You know, I don't think this fight's going to a decision. I mean, if I was a gambling man, like I said, which I am, I would definitely bet on this fight not going to a decision. But I don't know much about it, to be honest with you.
What's your opinion on fighters looking ahead at the next fight?
I don't think you should do it. I think you should.
You think it's a big mistake?
Yeah, I do. I mean, from my experience, yes. But I know that there's fighters that do it and they get away with it. I haven't been so lucky. I've normally, like, whenever I've looked ahead or looked past somebody, I've gotten. I mean, Noah Cutter was somebody I looked past, and I almost fucking died in that fight. Lozano was definitely somebody I looked past because I'm like, hey, I shouldn't even be fighting this guy. This is such a rebound, and I got knocked the fuck out. So probably not a good idea to be looking past your opponent. Not in this sport, at least. You know, baseball, basketball, shit. Pickleball, anything. But this fight, probably not. Because you know what's crazy about fighting? The freaking memes, bro. Oh my god. Oh. They chew you alive on the comments. Cause hey, when you talk shit about somebody in fighting, you get the worst of the worst. You know, when you get the highlight reel,
yeah.
Videos on Instagram, that sucks. I had people tell me you should have won your fight. I bet on you. And I'm like, you should have bet more. Fuck you. You think I tried to lose?
Damn, talk about being emotionally involved. So I was on YouTube. I saw a Mission Accomplished clip. Mike and Mish was Platinum Mike Perry talking shit about you, talking about he wanted to fight you. Y'all had a real beef?
Yep. He never wanted to fight me. Mike wants to fight, you know, anybody that he can apart from a challenge. Like, he's never wanted to fight somebody tough. Everybody that he's fought, he's always had some kind of advantage over them, whether they didn't fight in BK before or somebody that, you know, he knows he's going to make a shit ton of money, you know,
yeah.
like Jake Paul. But he's a bitch, man. I have zero respect for Perry. He's just – when I had the belt, I didn't even want to call his name out because I'm like, he obviously doesn't want to fucking fight. Like, when he
– yeah.
When I was champion and Mike Perry came to BK and he all of a sudden was the number one contender, he didn't want to fight me. He made a paper belt after he beat MVP, which MVP is a beast. But, bro, the first fight in bare knuckle, your hands calcify. Like, people don't understand this shit. This is a really – important fact. You want an easy fight, your very first bare knuckle fight. You 100% do. Your hands swell up like Mickey Mouse hands the first time you fight a
guy. Damn.
And there's a lot of things that you don't realize. And I think that's what happened with MVP. That's why Mike Perry, he didn't look impressive his first bare knuckle fight. He almost lost his first bare knuckle fight. He didn't look nearly the way that he does now when he fights these other people because he had, learning process, you know, when he first came to BK. But he's a bitch and a half, dude. And not to mention the fact this company spent so much money on him, on marketing him, on making him be this guy. Now all of a sudden he got a little bit of fucking hair on his balls. And now he's like sitting there coming out with his own promotion and trying to be – he copies everybody, bro. The guy's such a fucking cheerleader. That's why I didn't even want to give him a shot when I was champ. Because I'm like, I'm not fucking
shit
to this guy. He doesn't want to fight me. It is what it is. But he's a bitch and a half. And he took me to court. He also fucking lost because he's a clown. Him and his fat ass manager are clowns. And I also think that he's part of the reason why I'm having such a hard time getting a fight, but who knows?
Because him being like part owner and stuff?
He's not fucking part owner.
Oh, he ain't?
I can't even form a sentence.
Okay. So that's bullshit.
Yeah, that's all bullshit. But he is, he's definitely in a lot tighter with the bosses because he's made them all.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You know what I mean? If I've got, I don't know, like say I'm a pimp, for example, and I have a bunch of hookers at my disposal, which is exactly what fighting is. I don't care how you look at it. Manager, when a fighter's useless and he's not winning fights anymore and his body,
he
tosses you to the curb. There's no pension. There's nothing that managers do to make sure that you're taken care of after fighting. They couldn't give a shit. So once you're used up, they have no use for you. So say I'm a manager, right, or I'm a pimp, and I have all these hookers. If there's one hooker that's making me a couple million dollars a year, I'm of course going to listen to her over the one that could barely make $100,000.
Yeah,
just business. It's just how it works. So that's the reason why I think this little queer has more pull than I do with bare knuckle. But at the same time, he's a bitch and a half, man. The guy was trying to beat the shit out of his ex-wife. He, like, ran down his mom's garage to try to get at her. He's a clown. And it's just, like, there's no point in me even saying or even bringing him up. I honestly don't even like when I'm asked about him because, obviously, I'm emotional talking about him because I would have loved to have scratched my nuts and slapped him across the face on camera. But I was never given that chance, unfortunately. Who knows, man? Maybe down the line at some point that can happen. I doubt it. But yeah, he's a bitch. We definitely had beef. Fuck Perry.
Yeah, I that's one of the things I've been critical about BKFC about. Like, this guy's not even a champion, and they try to make him a face. It's like, how you in the NBA, you the face of the league, and you ain't won a championship yet. It's like, that's crazy to me. And like you said, it's all about, yeah, he gets the money fights. You know, they won't let Mundell fight him. I'm pretty sure Julian Lane wanted, a lot of people wanted Mike Perry, and he don't fight none of them cats. So it's like, yeah, they're trying to preserve his record and all that.
That's exactly the thing. The shit that bothers me is BK has spent an abnormal amount of money on Mike Perry, right?
Yeah.
Now they're in a bit of a tough situation because
Mike Perry got beat.
He got molested by a Disney Channel character. So it's like, if they were to put him on the floor and he would beat somebody, now they're like, oh, the roster in Bare Knuckle sucks. You guys have a bunch of, it's a crackhead league, right? That's the public's perception, is that Perry can't win a fight in real life, but he goes to Bare Knuckle and he gets away with murder. But if you were to put him against anybody ranked in the top five, like, Mike would get his asshole peeled over his fucking head. But they spent all this money on this guy. He looks like the fucking face of Bare Knuckle because that's what they called him, the king of violence, when the guy couldn't fucking hurt shit except for a fat man in a bar. And the guy, the first thing he does when he gets to Mike is calls out Jake Paul, so try to promote a fight outside of Bare Knuckle. So money that's not even coming back into Bare Knuckle, by the way.
Yeah.
Or promote his own dumbass boxing promotion. It's just everything that the guy can do, it's all about him. He doesn't give a flying fuck about anybody. He doesn't care about his teammates. He's a scumbag in real life. Like, that's just, I have no good words to say about Perry. Hence kind of why I don't even like fucking talking about him. But he's just a clown, bro. Like, the fact that they put that much money towards you and the first thing you do when you get the mic is try to promote a different promotion. I don't even know how the fuck Feldman even puts up with that. Fuck the money. Like, you guys, Bare Knuckle's growing at an exponential rate, with or without Mike Perry. You know, it's almost like the UFC and Conor, right? If Conor was split, maybe the UFC might feel it just a little bit, but they're still going to be just fine. They were fine before Conor. They're going to be fine after Conor. Conor did a lot for the sport, 100%. I'm part of the reason I'm fighting is because of Conor. But they'll be fine without him. It gets to a point where the disrespect just kind of surpasses the convenience of having an idiot like Mike Perry in place. So who knows, bro? I hope
they don't need him, like you said. I mean, they got, if you go through every division right now, you got a star face in every division, as far as I'm concerned. If you promote him like a star, you know what I'm saying? But that's the thing, like, BKFC, another thing, they act like a record label. They're worried about social media following and stuff. But if you don't throw a guy out there for these big fights, it's hard to get that following as well, too.
I also think, I'll take it on the chin, bro. If you're excited, like, you're an exciting fighter, you get a bunch of knockouts, it's easier to promote you. Like, you know, if you're a fighter that goes out there and no matter what, it's decision on top of decision on top of decision, you're not very interesting. Or you're a guy that goes out, like, I'm quiet. I don't really talk much. I mean, of course, you definitely got a fucking mouthful out of me just now about that retail. But for the most part, I don't talk much. I don't talk shit. I respect everybody that I fight. I mean, me and Mundell were cool before we fought. We're cool now. Me and Yuli were cool before we fought. We're cool now. Me and Jake are really good friends. I mean, fuck, Jake works with me. I have a shop, and Jake's he's helped me set that place up. So I'm a very calm, quiet guy. I'm pretty sure that if I was spreading my legs on OnlyFans or I was fucking selling parts in a jar, I would probably have a lot of money from OnlyFans because that's their, like, new gimmick, you know? Like, they want to go after these guys that make a lot of noise or are brash. I'm just not going to compromise myself to sit for what at the end of the day?
Yeah.
The fights are going to be the same. I would rather go out there and just – obviously, I'm not the fighter that I should be. So I'm going to go out there and every single fight try to be more aggressive, try to make a more viral moment or a more brutal knockout. I'm going to just work to perfect my craft. And if it works out, great. And if it's just not a good fit, fuck it. I might as well just leave. Like, if BK doesn't call me to fight again, I'm just going to go on my merry way and try to find something else. Whether it's MMA, boxing, something else, fuck it. It is what it is. But you've got these guys now that they're sitting there and they're changing their whole persona. They're chameleons. They're changing everything about themselves, the way they walk, the way they talk, just to sit there and try to sell a fight. I don't get that shit, bro. It's, I don't know. I mean, to each his own, bro. I guess I'm just, I don't understand why you're going to compromise your beliefs over what? Over getting one fucking fight. And then here's the beauty of it. Like, 9 out of 10 times, the majority of these guys that are sitting there trying whatever they can to get these fights, they don't even fucking win them. So you go and do all this shit. You call the champion a faggot, or you do all this funky stuff on Instagram. For what? And then you get this fight, and then you get knocked out. And now all of a sudden, it's just like, you know, well, you probably shouldn't have been talking shit, you know? Like, it happens. Fucking very often it happens. And it's just like, now look at shit. Now you have zero respect. Now people don't even want to watch you fight because you. It's almost like Mayweather. Mayweather would have lost. Nobody would have watched him fight because everybody wanted to see him lose.
Yeah.
He was so talented. That was his whole marketing scheme. You know, that was his persona. But if Mayweather would have lost, they would have never paid attention to him again. Because if you talk that much shit and then lost, I don't know about that. You're not that excited to watch fight, you know?
So I remember your last fight when Chris Lytle was talking. He felt like you got better your last fight. Do you feel like you're still getting better?
I definitely think so. I mean, I made leaps and bounds between my last two fights. I've changed boxing gyms. I'm checking with my buddy Lorenzo a lot, and I put a strong emphasis on – I'll be honest with you, I was not a good boxer. I'm still not a good boxer, actually. It's not like now I am. But there was just so much that I had to learn. I'm kind of somebody that jumped into it, and I was I started more advanced steps before I learned, like, the more basic steps. And I was doing a lot of things wrong. I was leaning over my front foot. I wasn't using my feet to punch, which was another huge one. I would stay in the line of fire. I wouldn't move my head. There's so many things that I needed to get better doing, which I just got in love with hitting people, right? And it just, essentially, that's all I was focusing on was just offense. But sometimes, especially when you get to the more elite level, it's not just a matter of like, hey, you know, let's just throw shit on the wall and see.
Yeah, you need defense too.
You definitely need defense.
So,
it's also a matter of landing that punch too, bro. If you can make people miss, like, that's, in my opinion, that's so much more important than just being able to hit somebody first. Like, make it pretty. You know, it doesn't need to always be a fucking car crash.
So, what's something fans would be surprised to know about you?
I'm a helicopter pilot.
Are you?
Yep.
Oh man.
There's a video on YouTube actually of me killing some seagull that I crashed into the front.
For real?
Yeah. But, I haven't flown in some time, though. But I have my rotorcraft. I have my commercial and ATP. I have another three companies that definitely take a lot more time out of me. So I just kind of put that one to rest. Also, because as a helicopter pilot in Florida, especially when it's all flat, you really don't make that much money.
So you fight in light heavyweight now, right?
No, this fight's at middleweight.
Middleweight. So are you looking to try to get the middleweight belt again, or are you trying to move into the light heavyweight, or?
I'm taking one fight at a time. I want to fight for the belt again, for sure. But I'm also kind of, you know, the whole going back to not putting the cart in front of the horse or not looking past your opponent. One fight at a time. And to be honest with you, bro, I'm not going to kill myself trying to get back to a title shot. If they want to see me fight for a belt, great. I'm just going to rack up these wins, just put one after the other. And then just kind of let it speak for itself. I mean, even on the way to the belt last time, I feel like I made so many mistakes. And even deep down inside, I felt like it was just a matter of time before somebody fucking caught me or exposed what I was doing wrong. And sure, shit, that ended up happening. Now I'm more going to town on, hey, I just fought Blake. I made this, and this mistake. I fucking walked out of that fight, and I definitely got marked up. So, like, I had some shots on my face. I had a black eye. So I definitely got touched a lot more than I should have. What did I do wrong? Let's go back to the gym. Let's correct it. You know, I'm more so just trying to be a student, which has always been my toughest thing, is learning. Like, I would have my coach tell me something, and I would either argue or say, oh, well, I do this because of this reason. No. I'm just going back to the drawing board and just saying, shut up, listen. Even if it's something you don't learn or you don't listen or, sorry, something you don't do, just learn it anyways. You know, I'm trying to be as good of a student as I can be.
I mean, don't you think you possibly should be ranked right now? Like, I mean, I'm looking at Zeb Vincent. I mean, he just lost. He's 3-2. Doug Coltrane, I mean, he's from my state, but I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
I never understand these rankings.
I only have one loss at 175 to the champion, but for some reason.
Yeah.
Well,
I've been actually thinking about doing my own rankings because I don't be liking some of these rankings I be seeing. I don't get
that's
it.
That's the thing too. Like now I'm fighting somebody that's not ranked.
Yeah.
If I knock him out,
it doesn't really help as much, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like it's just like, but now I'm at 175, former world champion, only lost to the champion. 7-1 would be my record in that weight class, or 6-1 would be my record in that weight class, and I'm still not ranked. How the fuck does that make sense? But like I said,
yeah.
Bro, all about the tattoos and the OnlyFans.
So, like, what's your training like up to this fight? Like, how many days you typically train for a fight?
When I have a fight camp, so I'll give you text this guy real quick.
That's cool. I'm gonna look something up, anyways.
So I still work every day, but I will try to train at least once a day. Like now that I have a fight lined up, every day I got to train somehow. Even if it's not actually like boxing training or sparring, I'm going to try to do something active, you know, whether it's a freaking Bulgarian back workout, active recovery, something, you know, but every day I need to do something.
See, even I looked up Knuckletown Official. Even they got you sixth. But they got Jake right in front of you. I'm like, but you beat Jake. So this don't make sense. Well, I don't be understand.
There's two fights in that weight class at 175 that are coming up July 12th. There's Jake's fight with Leo, and then there's my fight with this kid, Dallas. Who knows what's going to – I'm pretty sure it's going to be one of those things where it's like if say that I, you know – I don't know, say Dallas Davison jabs me to death or vice versa, but then Jake or Leo get a freaking emphatic knockout, they're going to be ranked number two or number three or number one. Or vice versa, you know, if I get like a freaking ice cold knockout, all of a sudden I'll be ranked like number two or number one or number three, who fucking knows. But I'll be some, you know, better off in the rankings. I think that it's one of those situations, but I sure shit don't think that I should be ranked number six. But at the same time, who gives a shit? I mean, I don't think that anybody in that weight class can beat me on a good day, but that's the whole point, to just kind of like putting the wins together and just seeing what happens. It's bad that I'm not brash enough or I'm not vocal enough, because if I would be, who knows, I might be getting the bigger fights, but you know, it is what it is, bro. I'm not going to go out of my way and try to make an ass out of myself over, you know, trying to get these better fights. I'm just going to like string these wins together. Hopefully they eventually put me in against somebody like ranked in the top three that they don't think that I can beat. And then when I go out there and just make a statement, then they'll give me a title shot. Also, because who else is there? I mean, Mundell's beat everybody right now.
He's beat everybody, yeah.
Anyone that there is for him to fight. The only person that would be for him to fight is Perry. And Perry would literally be a snap. I mean,
and that's the thing. Perry's number one. Perry won't fight him. Dakota Cochran just lost recently. Zeb Vincent just lost. Donald Sanchez just lost. You know, I mean, like I said, Doug Coltrane, I mean, 3-2, I get it, but he hasn't fought nobody really, but Mundell.
Yeah, I mean, Coltrane lost recently. I think he lost recently. I mean, I was looking at his fights because they were telling me that he was going to be the next guy that I was going to fight.
So yeah, he's got back-to-back losses, Coltrane does.
So
that don't make sense.
Like I said, bro, I'm just I take bunch of disrespect for some weird reason from this promotion. That's a promotion that I've always had nothing but good things to say about them. I don't know what else to do, bro. It's one of those situations where it's kind of like, if you don't like it, bro, just don't fight for them. But at the same time, like, I do like the circuit. I like the sport. I mean, I love bare knuckle, and I'm just trying to get back to the title picture. I don't know what else to do. I thought my last performance was impressive enough, at least, but I guess that they didn't think so. So maybe this fight, I need to get a knockout to be impressive. I don't know. We'll try.
I mean, can't you always, you know, not to try to start nothing, but can't you always, like, make BKB a backup option or something?
The thing is, I want to go back to MMA. Like, I love...
Oh, you want to go back to MMA. Okay, if you do. Yeah. Okay, I get it.
if I was to finish the bare knuckle chapter, I would go back to MMA.
You just go back to MMA.
Maybe I make it far enough in MMA, and you know, then all of a sudden, by the time that I'm done in a big league promotion, then BK is like, "Oh, you know what? You know, we'll pay you this Jeremy Stevens money, you know, or this fucking Chad Mendes money to come back and fight for us." Or it doesn't go that way, and then who knows? I might just fucking either hang it up or go to boxing or do something. But I love competition, man. With all the crap that I deal with on a day-to-day basis between work, the house, everything else, like that's my vacation. That's my break from reality, is getting the train, spar, and then eventually getting the fight. I definitely need something in my life.
And bare knuckle is like extended shelf life of fighters. I mean, you got guys, Wild Bill just fought the other Saturday. He's 48 years old. I know. Who's Houston that? Alexander was Wild Bill, William Albrecht. Okay. He just fought. He's 48 years old. Houston Alexander, which they don't let fight no more, he fought, he was 50, you know, and he was undefeated going into age 50 of bare knuckle, but they won't let him fight no more because he's like 52 now, you know what I'm saying?
You don't always know, but, like, the story with each fighter, so I never want to really speculate, but there's guys that I talk to that they do want to fight bare knuckle, and they have been fighting bare knuckle, and the position that they're in is they fought, they were winning, so they were making, let's just use it as an example, you know, they got their way up to fighting for $20,000, for example, and now all of a sudden they lost, so bare knuckle only wants to pay them like $10,000. So they're like, well, fuck, you know, like, I can't fight for that much, because now, like, I can barely pay my freaking team with that, with that money. So a lot of the times they're in that situation, or they're in a situation like me, I would have fought for fucking free just to try to get back to, you know, to the winning column. And did not give me a fight. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I had to call Feldman from a spoof number to get him to pick up the fucking phone.
What the fuck?
Which to me is insane. I mean, bro, come on. Bro. Your company's made money with me fighting. I always sell a shit ton of tickets. I'm also the first champion from Italy, born and raised, speaks the language, that fought in bare knuckle. And I shouldn't have to go to these lengths just to get a fucking phone call from you. I mean, what I had to do to get a fight last time was crazy. So, I don't know, bro. It's I don't think it's fair, but at the same time, it's just, I know it's a brutal sport. You know, I'm in business for myself, and I know that sometimes you got to make decisions that you don't want to. Might be one of those situations, but I just see that they're giving a lot of these newer guys fight after fight after fight after fight against fucking cans. I mean, these guys are fighting. There's some of these new guys that are fighting that across fucking five opponents, there's like one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and you keep giving these, like, stepping stone on top of stepping stone. And it's just kind of like, bro, I've never turned down a fucking fight, ever. I fought on 2 weeks' notice. I fought six different people. I've had my opponent not show up the day of the fight. I fought on right after ACL surgery. I fought right after I tore my ACL. I fought every time that you guys have called me a fight. I've never turned down a fight. I've never pulled out of a fight ever in my life. Never will I. And it's like, you guys are giving these guys fight after fight after fight after fight. It's fucking insanity to me. And it's like, you've got OGs, people that have been fighting for forever, like Boswick. Boswick was having a hard time getting a fight.
That's why they make it a big deal about him being back.
And it should be. I mean, the guy is, he fought his ass off. You know, he's a veteran. He's been fighting for fucking forever and a day. And they should make a big deal about him coming back because he deserves it. He fought. He was the first ever six-round fight in BK. I mean, shit. Right. I've been fighting bare knuckles since BKFC 10. Right. You know, I've been fighting since they first started. They literally had their first event less than 2 years before I had fought in BKFC 10.
Yeah.
I was with them literally from the birth. And now you've got all these new guys. And it's just, I don't know, bro. I think there should be some kind of loyalty, especially, bro, I'll tell you this, and I would never, ever, regardless of the fact, but the amount of attorneys that reached out to me after the whole coma thing happened with BK, because, of course, a lot of people were trying to get them off the map. They wanted me to go after them for negligence, personal injury. I'm like, get the fuck out of my inbox. Are you kidding me? Like, you really think I'm going to go and sue somebody that I fucking asked to fight for? Are you, like, to me, that I can't comprehend that. The concept is just stupid.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, there's a lot of other fighters that I know would have jumped on that in a heartbeat. And I advocate for bare knuckle. I'm like, dude, not only did they pay my hospital bills and took care of me, they do right by the fighters. And for me, all of a sudden, I lost the fight and then lost another one right after, which it's happened to a lot of fighters have lost back to back. But now it's almost impossible for me to get a fight. I don't know. That to me wasn't fair. But you know, what are you going to do? We're here.
Well,
now.
Isn't it cheaper for them to bring in these guys on their first fight, though, the debuts?
I think so.
Yeah.
These guys,
that's what I think it is. It seems like a money grab, a greedy thing. Because I ain't going to say no names, but there's some guys in BKFC that I know are just getting flown in to get their asses whooped every single time.
Yeah. I mean,
but they love it. But they love it too. That's the thing, though. You know, I haven't interviewed anybody that doesn't love this shit, and that's what I love about you guys, man. That y'all, even when you're not really making a lot of money, you still love this.
I think you know what's crazy. I think the biggest truth room is the back. Is the warm up room in the back. You see some guys that are out there fucking sweating bullets. And wait for this to be over, and then you see some guys, and that's when they start to feel comfortable. That's when they're like getting warm. That's when they actually like enjoy the moment. And I think that you've got the, like you mentioned, the crash test dummies that are flown in from out of town to fucking get their ass beat. And those guys, they like having their Instagram bio saying professional fighter. They're the guys that they go anywhere. They could go to a Chuck E. Cheese with their kid, and they're like, I'm a professional fighter. You know, regardless of the fact that your record's like 1-10. You got those guys, and then you've got the guys that are like, man, I can't wait. Like, this moment only comes around once in a couple of months. If I'm lucky, like, this is the time.
Yeah.
You've got those guys. They actually genuinely enjoy being in there, the competition. It's to explain to somebody that's never fought before, especially for a promotion like Bare Knuckle, where the production is legit.
Yeah, it is.
It's blinding. I mean, the lights are blinding when you walk in there. Like, the noise is deafening. It's like, it's gladiator shit. It's modern.
Yeah. That's what I've always said. American Gladiator.
And it is difficult to like hone your senses when you're in the fight. 9 out of 10 times, the first punch you throw doesn't even fucking land because you're just so, how do you say? You're so like uncalibrated. You know, there's so much stuff that's like distracting you, and it really is a fucking challenge to hone in, bro. But once you embrace it, like once you get comfortable and you enjoy it, it's like, oh man, it's the best feeling. You smell the blood from the people that fought before you.
Damn.
It's awesome.
That's crazy. Hey, before we let you go, any shout outs you want to do, any sponsors or anything, or anything you want to say to your opponent?
Yeah. So the sponsors, Epoxy Pros, they really helped out with this camp.
That's Steven what's up. Truck,
and yeah, man. Allied Logistics and Transport. And then just everybody that comes out to watch, you know, watch us fight. I mean, I know that obviously you guys have a good time when you go there, but we wouldn't be fighting if it wasn't for you. And for my opponent, fuck no. We'll be talking plenty when we're in the ring, but I have nothing to say for him yet.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out, man. I'm definitely going to be rooting for you. I know that's going to cause me some trouble down the line when I interview guys because they'll be like, yo, you remember that time you said you was rooting for him? But yeah, I definitely expect you to come out with a win on this one, man. So
thanks, Paul. Well, I'll always do an interview with you, and you know, and I'm always show thanks, man.
Appreciate
it. Thank you for giving me the chance.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one, man. I didn't expect you to be so
vocal,
so outspoken. Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like I kind of held a lot of shit in for quite some time, but you know, you don't live very long, so you might as well get what's on your head out before you can.
Yep. Well, man, enjoy the rest of your day, man. And I'm definitely going to be tuning in, rooting for you, man.
Thanks, Paul. We'll talk soon, brother. Thank you for the interview.
All right. Peace.
All right, bud.
I enjoyed that interview. Really funny, man. Hilarious. I didn't expect it to really go that way. Cause he seems like a real like humble cat. You know what I'm saying? Like he doesn't really, like you say, he doesn't shit talk the opponent and stuff like that. He just goes in, gets the job done and just does his thing, man. But, Francesco Ricci will be fighting, of course, Hollywood, Florida. BKFC 78, Perdomo versus Adams, July 12th, 2025, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And that will be available on the BKFC app, also available on Fubo Sports. And I usually watch it on Amazon Prime. And he'll be fighting Dallas Davidson. I don't know much about him, but I do expect Francesco to come out with a victory on that. And, of course, that's going to be a stat card like usual. And let me just go through the card real quick. And I won't pick who I'm going to think is going to win yet because I still got another interview from this card which is Robert Armas, who'll be fighting Justin Iverola. So tune in for that Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. But you got Leonardo Perdomo versus Arnold Adams, which is, I'm really interested to see that. I don't see anybody beating Perdomo anytime soon, though. You got G. Perez, the cut man, versus Andrew Strode. Go check out the interview I did with Strode. Robbie Peralta versus Brian Duran. That should be interesting. Of course, like I said, Justin Iberola versus Robert Armas. We're going to see what he has to say. You got H.D. Howard Davis versus Draco Rodriguez. Gaston Reno versus Milton Volter. Then you got Francesco Ricci versus Dallas Davidson. Julio Perez Rodriguez, who's 3-0, versus Esteban Rodriguez, who's 3-1. That should be interesting. Leonel Carrera versus Jake Bostic. And Jake Bostic, which we talked about a lot in this interview, is back. And like he said, he had trouble getting some fights. But now he's back, and hopefully he's here to stay. The beautiful Christine Vicens versus Sarah Click. And Stephen Tomahawk Townsend, who I interviewed the other day, versus Keith the Officer Richardson, not the rock star. You got Rambo Russo versus Justin Martinez. I don't know if they got any free fights yet. They probably, nope, they will be announced. All right, well, I appreciate everybody tuning in. We get off here, start clipping up some clips. So make sure y'all, like I said, go check out the interviews. I go live on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Audio version to go to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM. And also the video version to go to Rumble, BitChute, and Millions.co. Definitely go to Millions.co and check out the New Little Apparel and the clips and the interviews as well. And, you know, I should have interviews coming weekly from new bare knuckle fighters as they these cards pop up and whatnot. But yeah, I'm definitely glad I did this interview. Glad I reached out to Francesco Ricci. Didn't expect him to be so outspoken, man. Very hilarious guy. Nice guy, and can't wait to see the fight, man. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Another episode of Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Peace, and I'm out.